technology might change. Hell, six years ago, the iPhone didn't exist. I used to wander around with a mobile phone that was, you know, akin to a brick and a Palm Pilot, and used to say to people, I don't understand why they don't put these things two together. It'd be so much easier. Clearly, Steve Jobs was channeling me.
A business visionary, David. A business visionary, mate.
Absolutely. Yeah. Have I mentioned that I invented iTunes as well? No, anyway.
disclaimer, he didn't.
That's right.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next event on the card is a heavyweight marketing bout for the small to medium business owner. In the red corner, from Paradise, Australia, is David. And in the blue corner, from an English paradise, is David.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of David versus David, the podcast for the small business owner that discusses topics of interest in marketing, advertising, online marketing, and more. The kind of topics that small business owners face every day, and hopefully we'll provide a little bit of insight and illumination on how we can move forward and break through some of these issues. I'm David Pritchard from the UK, the Northern Branch of Paradise, as we affectionately refer it to over here. And down in Tasmania, we have David Council. Hello, David.
Hello from Paradise. It's good to be back. It's been a great day here. So, I'm revved up and ready to go.
Good, 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 good. Well, we've been recovering from a big storm over here in the UK that hit us day before yesterday, about 48 hours ago. And we've survived up here. We were just a little bit north of where the centre of the storm hit. But further down south, there was a heck of a lot of damage. Lots of trees ripped up and all sorts of stuff going on down there. So glad we missed out on that one. And I'm sure quite a few businesses are getting back on their feet after that. But obviously, it's a little bit warmer down in your neck of the woods, David, a little bit more sunny perhaps as you head into your springtime, isn't it?
Yes, we had a beautiful day yesterday. It was 20 degrees, so you know you can really feel spring in the air. You know, the birds are tweeting, the rabbits in my front yard are chasing each other around the field, all of the flowers are out. It's pretty good to be alive.
Springtime for rabbits, eh? Well, that must be fun for them.
I have a black rabbit and a normal coloured rabbit, yeah. And they're not pets, so clearly some weird, strange rabbit has escaped and has taken up residence in my front yard. And while I don't like them chewing on my plants, they are adorable to watch.
Oh, they're cute, I'm sure, absolutely. What are we going to talk about today then, David?
Let's talk about setting goals, getting your business set up so that you can achieve those goals. I think one of the things when it comes to business is that, you know, we all have big picture plans and sometimes we stall when we're going to do them because, you know, we're moving forward and it just overwhelms us. And then everything grinds to a halt. If you've got proper goal setting in place, though, it's more difficult for that to happen because you've got a plan, you've got a roadmap to move forward rather than just saying, I'm here now and I want to get to the top of that mountain, so let's go. You know, you've got to know where the little stages are on the way up. After all, when they climb Mount Everest, and that happens fairly regularly now, they've got base camps where they move to and acclimatize and recognize the achievement that they've made and then move on and move forward again so that they're taking it a little step at a time. You want to talk about that?
Yep. Oh, we'll go with that indeed. That's a topic that I'm sure a lot of people would find useful. I know one thing for sure when I'm talking to people, quite a lot of time they don't particularly have any goals. They are just continuing along on a steady average progress of doing the same next week as they were this week as they were last week. And they probably will be doing, if they're lucky, they'll be doing the same this time next year, but they won't really be building anything. They'll just be continuing to exist as a business. And if they're not careful, without that goal setting, without that upward movement, somebody else will be doing that. And of course, you know, they won't be doing the same next year. They'll be doing slightly worse next year or much worse next year. So yeah, that's a really, really good topic. And as you said, you know, sometimes the huge goal, the pinnacle of achievement, is something that can seem quite daunting, I guess. And whilst it would be, you know, great to achieve it, and perhaps a fantasy almost to achieve it, if you actually did it, and some people do, fantastic. But, you know, let's get real and talk about, you know, how you can set smaller steps along the way and achieve those smaller steps. And by doing that, you'll make progress towards the bigger overall objective, I guess.
They say that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And, you know, that is genuinely true. I remember when I was first, you know, in the workforce and hearing a guy who came to the business that I was working at talking about the importance of having a business plan and the importance of having a marketing plan and how, you know, getting it written down was just, you know, key to helping a business move forward. And I remember thinking at the time, who is this hippie freak and what is this new wave stuff that he's talking about? You know, surely we don't need to write it down. We all know what's going on. But gee, you know, how wrong could I have been? Because if you don't write it down, it all gets a bit blurry in your mind as well. So Things become a bit more convenient because you can alter the truth. If it's written down, you know what it is that you're trying to focus on and what it is that you're trying to achieve. And, you know, you don't leave it all to memory. And you can start ticking things off and moving down that path. So that point one is vitally important. And the other thing that's vitally important is don't just do it and put it in a drawer. This is a dynamic document that you should be referring to. I suggest to clients all of the time that they put it somewhere where they work, you know, and they can see it. So not clearly, not in your shop where all of your customers can see it. But, you know, if you've got a work area that's private that no one else can see, then stick it on the wall so that it's there, it's confronting you. And every time you look up, you see something from it and it chips away at you and reminds you what you should be doing and why you're there. You know, the significant goal that you should have in your business is, what do you want to get out of this? You know, being in business is not easy. It's something that you've got to really work at. And, you know, it can grind you down. So you've got to have that as your goal. What is it that you're doing that you're making all of this sacrifice for to achieve? You know, is it so that your kids can go to good schools? Is it so you can have a nice house or you can have holidays or, you know, you can have security of cash in the bank or you can buy yourself a nice car? There's got to be a reason that you have that you set as a goal and you work towards it, because otherwise, go and get a job, you know, work for someone else, let them take the stress.
Yeah, indeed, absolutely. Other things you mentioned there, some of those were reasonably materialistic things, but there are other things such as fulfillment and the fact that you are your own boss. It's up to you to decide what you do. A lot of people would absolutely kill for that. You know, they don't want to work for other. Some people do want to work for other people, and some people just want to be in charge of their own destiny to a much greater degree. I mean, something else you mentioned there about, you know, don't hide the business plan away and make yourself accountable to other people for it as well. If other people do know about it, that's something else that you can't hide from. And although it might be quite painful sometimes, and you may sort of think, why did I tell anybody I was going to try and achieve this? I'm going to look stupid if I don't. The chances are that by telling other people, you are that much more incentivized to achieve them or to try and achieve them. I have a friend, I mean, this is nothing to do with my business, but somebody I meet on a regular basis that I've known for years and years, and his business put out a press release. And he didn't know anything about this press release, but for some reason it said that they were expanding over the next few years and they were going to be going from, I don't know what it was, something like £20 million a year turnover to £50 or £60 million a year turnover within 3 years. And I said, guys, I'll hold you to that one. Well, do you know what? He's up to over £40 million turnover now, and that's within 2 years. So, you know, crazily, he's actually on target. And I rib him about it every now and again and say, you know, where are we now? Your £55 million a year turnover company. And he says, not too bad, actually. So it does work, having accountability. And it's why companies have boards of directors. So it's not just one guy that changes the plan without telling anybody and stuffs it in the drawer and puts it in the waste bin and thinks, well, we'll forget about that. If you're not on track, you've got to work out why. If you're not on track, you've got to work out how to get back on it, or you've got to work out, do you need a new track?
Yeah, for years, you know, I didn't share that sort of information with my staff. I had it hanging around my neck like it was a yoke, and I was having to pull everything forward, or that's the way it felt. And then 1 year, we just made the decision that we were going to share with the staff what our goals and aspirations were, what we were trying to achieve and what we were trying to improve within the company so that we could move forward. And you know what? Our staff embraced it. They want to achieve that, you know, but if they don't know, how can they help you move ahead?
Absolutely.
You know, there'll always be somebody in your business that doesn't embrace it as fully as you would like them to. But you know what? Don't let that drag you down. They're not the thing that should be holding you back. You should go, well, you know what? That's just that person. And either they will adapt and move forward with the rest of us because they will see that everybody else is pulling in the same direction, or they won't. And if they don't, you know what? Yeah. They'll leave because they will just feel so uncomfortable and so disconnected from the business. And you want them to leave. You know, in all honesty, they are holding your business back. And that might seem heartless and cruel, but seriously, you know, in my business with all of the people that we've got working for us, it's a really important thing that everybody embraces it, because we're all responsible for the well-being and the income of all of those people. So all of those people have got families that they go home to. And, you know, everybody has to be the strong link that helps everybody else. And that's how that chain works inside of our business. And if someone's dragging the chain, then the others let them know about it. And from a management point of view, that's great too, because it means that the burden doesn't fall back to someone like me, because, you know, they chip them and remind them.
And even if it's not their company, people have a stake in a company, whether they're a shareholder or not, whether they're an employee. They want the company to be successful so that they keep getting paid. But more than that, people want to be part of a successful organization. They actually want to know where it's going. They want to be able to say, I work for XYZ company and we do this, and yeah, it's really good, thanks, at the moment. It's all pretty successful. People would much rather say that to their friends than, oh, I work for a company, it's a bag of pants and it's going downhill and da-di-da-di-da, nobody knows what they're doing, and et cetera, et cetera. The two types of conversation that you have with friends and family socially, you only want to have the one type, don't you? Don't want the negative one.
Yeah.
So people know what the plan is, people know where they're going, people feel part of it. It's going to be much more successful.
Absolutely. So with your goal, don't just think 12 months in advance or 4 years or 5 years in advance. Put down what your ultimate goal is for the business and then start to work backwards in small steps. Now, admittedly, if you're working 20 years into the future, some of those aspirations are going to be a bit rubbery. You know, they're going to be rubbery because things might change. And I don't mean, you know, from a negative impact way on your business. Technology might change. Hell, six years ago, the iPhone didn't exist. I used to wander around with a mobile phone that was, you know, akin to a brick and a Palm Pilot, and used to say to people, I don't understand why they don't put these things two together. It'd be so much easier. Clearly, Steve Jobs was channeling me.
A business visionary, David. A business visionary, mate.
Absolutely. Have I mentioned that I invented iTunes as well? No, anyway.
disclaimer, he didn't.
That's right. So think the big picture. Don't be afraid to not think the big picture, because you know what? There's a Paul Kelly song. I don't know if you've heard of Paul Kelly. He's an Australian musician. And there's a line in it that says, from little things, big things grow. And that is entirely true in everything in your life. Take that little thing and grow it big. You know, without trying to ring my own bell too loudly, my two oldest brothers are doctors, and one of them is a medical doctor and the other one is a PhD. And you know what? They, my doctor brother, the doctor, not the PhD doctor, he's still finishing his training. You know, he's just a little bit older than I am and he's still finishing his training. Meanwhile, for the last 20 years, from a materialistic point of view, I have been killing it and making huge amounts of money. He still isn't making the sort of money that I make on a yearly basis. And so he's, you know, suffered through 20 years. Now, I realize how shallow that makes me sound, but at the end of the day, we're in competition. And, you know, so I'm the son that didn't become the doctor, but became very successful.
Right.
And you can too, you know. Don't let the fact that you might not have a university education, you might not think that you've had all of the advantages in life, but I am here to tell you that you can do anything. Nothing is impossible. It's not easy. It's just not impossible. You've got to put your mind to it. I tell my kids this anytime that they want to listen. You can do whatever you like in life. As long as you're happy doing it, you can create the possible from the impossible. And you've got to make that your mantra in life, because you know what? When you're in business, people are going to throw up roadblocks. Bushfires are going to erupt. Clients are going to be difficult. Staff are going to be difficult. But you can overcome everything if you've got a clear goal in mind in what you're trying to achieve. And the best way to do it is have that big long-term goal and then break it up into tiny little Lego bits and start building your wall, because that's the important.
I don't know these guys personally, as I'm sure you don't, but you can certainly imagine that that's the kind of mentality that some of the leading business gurus, your Richard Bransons and Alan, we have over here Alan Sugar and Donald Trumps and people like that, who are the guys in your neck of the woods, David? Kerry Packers and...
I hate to say it, Rupert Murdoch. He's an Australian. Or was an Australian.
Yeah, I'm not sure what nationality he is at the moment, but...
He's an American now. We're pretty happy about that.
These guys have always... They will have had the big goal in front of them, and how they get there, how the steps they take will be the means to get there, but they will have had some big vision a long time ago of where they want to be and how successful they want to be.
Absolutely. How many people do you think told Richard Branson that he was mad and this would never happen and he should just be more sensible and realistic about life? And you know what? If you've got nothing, what's the worst thing that can happen? You can end up with nothing again. So you're actually no worse off. So take that goal, break it into tiny little Lego bits, and then start building a wall. Because when you achieve a small step, you can celebrate that you've achieved that step, and you should celebrate it. You should find ways to pat yourself on the back and say, you know what? Bloody good job. Excellent stuff. Take a deep breath and recognize it and then move on. Don't gloss over it, because you know what? Sometimes there aren't going to be other people in this world who are going to pat you on the back and say, hey, you know what? That's good. That's, you know, well done. When you're the boss, when you're the king, it's no one else holds the king accountable.
Yep, indeed.
And you need to be, as the king, saying, you know what? Well done, king. Pat on the back. That's an excellent job, mate. Now, let's move on and take on the next thing.
Indeed. And something to do along here, which I do to some degree, and I've heard one or two other people take it a little bit further, is celebrate the small steps along the way. You know, maybe you have something that is a weekly goal. Perhaps you want to achieve something this week. And it doesn't have to be massive, but let's say you want to set out a positive step that, if you achieve that outcome at the end of the week, maybe it's going to out for a meal with your wife, or taking the afternoon off for a walk in the countryside and a nice pint of beer or a cup of coffee or whatever you want to do. But, you know, something that you reward yourself with for a small goal. Celebrate the success, because that's a nice feeling. And you know what? You'll want to do that again the week after, or the week after that, or the month after that. Make it small steps. Celebrate them along the way. There's sometimes that, you know, you just do go through periods where things drag a little bit and whatever. Best way out of it is set yourself a small goal, go out and achieve it, celebrate it, and then get back in that routine.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. And, you know, never, ever, ever be afraid to celebrate doing something good, you know. And it doesn't always have to be something good for you. Just never be afraid to celebrate it, because, you know what, you have got to do it. And one of the things also I should mention, that, you know how I said break it into small goals?
Yep.
Within those small goals, set priorities.
Yes.
So that you know what it is you're trying to achieve as a priority. And don't do the easy stuff first. When you arrive at your work at the start of the day, it's really tempting to knock over a couple of quick and easy things because they're quick and easy. But you know what? As the day goes on and the bushfires break out and all of the knobheads turn up to talk to you in your business and they start to drag your day down, then it becomes really hard and difficult to motivate yourself to do those difficult things later on in the day. So do the hard stuff first. Get it over and then do the easy stuff. Don't be a 10-year-old child and eat all the good stuff on your plate first and leave the crappy stuff till last.
I used to do that.
Oh, I used to do that too. You know what? Cold peas are just terrible.
You'll never eat them. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, good man. Thanks for bringing that one back to my long-lost memory on that one.
And set drop-dead dates. Always set a date that something has to be achieved by. Because if you're going to reward yourself, you need that deadline to work to so that you know it's got to be done. And even if you're not answerable to anyone else in your business, you're still answerable to your staff and their expectation that you are not going to drop the ball. So set a drop-dead date that you've got to achieve stuff by, and just as you hold them accountable, hold yourself accountable.
Yeah, absolutely. How do you know you're doing the right things to achieve these goals?
Well, I would come back to those two words that I like, or three words actually, that I like to use: test and measure. So if you've got a goal that you want to achieve, you need to have a test set for what is the criteria for that goal to have been achieved. Let's make it a marketing goal, because we're in a marketing podcast. Let's say that your goal is to write copy for a radio ad for your target. So identify the target, as we always say, and write the copy. So if you haven't got a 30-second ad that makes sense and can be sent to be voiced, then you have not achieved your goal in that time. Really straightforward. The goal setting and knowing whether or not you've achieved it shouldn't be difficult. It should be very black or white. So don't give yourself grey area. Don't give yourself that wriggle room to try and get out of something. You know, the only person that you're going to cheat is yourself.
Okay.
You should make sure that, you know, how do I know if I've achieved that goal? Because I know in my heart of hearts that it's done.
Yes, okay.
It's got to be black or white. It's on or it's off. It's done or it's not.
And if it's not quite done, then hopefully that's at some point earlier on the journey there so that you can keep track as you go along. Yep. As you have a goal of, say, attempting to achieve, I don't know, let's say you want to achieve an extra 15 customers this month, you know, consultancy customers, whatever, then you have to specify out, you know, where, what's a reasonable plan to achieve those over the course of the month, because you're probably not going to be linear.
Yeah.
You know, you're probably not going to achieve a quarter of them in the first week. You're probably going to achieve most of them in the last few days of that month. But you have to specify what steps you're taking to achieve them along the way, don't you? Avoid the grey during the month by setting out black and white during, by setting out black and white steps along the way during that month. So, you know, the ultimate black and white goal comes at the end of the month. Have you achieved that extra 15 customers? The black and white goal after 7 days is, have I put this in place and this in place in order to try and get those 15 customers, even though I might have only got one at the moment or none even. But again, it's black and white results for the objectives and the goals that you're setting.
Yeah, in that scenario that you're using there, you need to make sure that within that month there are evaluation points that give you the opportunity to ask, what's stopping me from achieving my goal? What's holding me back? You know, not, you know, they're all just taking too long to get back to me. That's not something that's stopping you from achieving your objective. That's an excuse. If you're making excuses something that's acceptable inside your business, go and take a long, hard look at yourself, because the only person you're kidding is yourself.
And another one here, a neat bit of advice, I think, from which I've experienced, is set yourself bigger goals than you really think you can achieve. My wife has a small business, and we were talking, she'd only set it up earlier in the year, and it sells things through retail outlets. And so she needs retailers to get on board and say, yeah, we'll stock those and we'll sell those. She said, do we need goals? And I said, you bet we do. And so we set a goal for the end of September that we were going to go from having, I think she had eight retailers at the time. And I said, we're going to set the goal of having 25 retailers, and one of those will be abroad. And she said, no, we'll never do that, not in 8 weeks. And I said, well, it's a stretch, but you know, if you don't stretch, then we won't get there. Well, I think we got 18 shops, and one of those was abroad. If we'd have said, yeah, well, we've got eight at the moment, let's go for 12 or 15 or whatever, we'd have probably been on 10. So by setting a bigger goal and setting a bigger stretch, then you are going to get that much further along the way. So yes, we didn't meet the black and white goal of 25, but we did pretty well, actually, by setting a goal that wasn't entirely unrealistic but was a big stretch. You got further than you would have done otherwise. And that's another one that's just worth throwing in that fray.
Absolutely. You've got to challenge yourself. When I was managing radio stations, one of the things that we used to do with the sales reps, for example, is that we would have to present a budget to the board for how much revenue we were, you know, capable of generating for the business each year. And we would do that. And then the budget that we would tell the sales reps was bigger than that again.
Yep.
Because if we only told them what we needed to achieve, that would have been all we achieved. So we challenged them and stretched them beyond what they thought, and rewarded them when they achieved that stretch goal. And of course, then the board were happy because we'd achieved greater than their expectation of what we could achieve.
Yeah, there's another extension of this, which is measuring the goals. And it's really going to be the subject of an additional podcast episode, I think. When you move and start applying goals in the online world, there's all sorts of ways that you can measure your goals electronically as well. If you have an ad campaign, or you have websites that sell things, or websites where you have people want, you know, you want people to opt into your newsletter or whatever, there are methods and tools that are available that give you an awful lot of information to monitor the success of your goals electronically, if you like, so you can build up an accurate picture of what's going on. So we're talking about things like Google Analytics, we're talking about things like Webmaster Tools, redeeming coupon codes, and using things like, if you've seen those little black and white squares full of dots in the bottom of posters and menus and all sorts of things.
QR codes.
QR codes, yeah. Various methods that we can talk about in a future episode on that, along with things like split testing for conversion testing. So you can present your visitors to a website with one web page and you present the other half of your visitors to your website with a different web page, and you can see which one produces the best results. And again, that's all measured. You can put little tracking software on that will say, what are people doing? Are they clicking? How many people are signing up, and so on. It's a huge subject. We're not going to cover A/B split testing and conversion testing in 2 minutes. So let's revisit that one in the future. But it's all forms part of this setting goals, setting objectives, measuring them, testing along the way, and aiming to achieve the bigger result as a result. So, David, I'm just watching, and we've got a little clock ticking away here to make sure that we don't talk forever and a day. We're heading for half an hour again. I know. Hopefully that was an interesting episode. I certainly interesting to hear about your sibling rivalry with your brothers and doctors from all sorts of things fire people up to achieve things differently. And you know, whether it's a business competitor, whether it's a personal competitor, I'm sure and I hope you have a great relationship with your brothers, whereby that's inspired you to do something.
Absolutely, don't worry, we're all fine. We get on really well. I have a sister too who is also very successful. And in fact, has just sold her business. Well, she's in her 40s and has sold her business and retired.
Wow.
We are a very competitive family when it comes to that sort of stuff. But, you know, we all still talk to each other. We all still like each other.
That's what drives people along, though, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Sibling rivalry or whatever, but it's healthy competitiveness. The same thing applies in business. You know, maybe it's a business rivalry you have. As long as it stays clean, you've got goals to achieve. I mean, you want to be bigger than your competitor. He wants to be bigger than you. So what's that going to do? It's going to drive you both further forward and hopefully to more success. So,
absolutely. Now, I would also like to mention, because we are wrapping it up and I don't want to forget this week, to say thank you to a few people. We have had a lot of contact this week through various social media, through LinkedIn, through our Facebook page. I want to say thanks very much to Sally Orcutt, Angie Spiteri, and Irene Ross. They all reached out to us on our Facebook page. But as I said, even through my personal LinkedIn page, people were commenting on the last few weeks' worth of podcasts. So thank you very much for that. And also to people who are my clients who mentioned during the last week as well that they'd been listening to the episodes. So thanks very much, guys. Nice to know that I can be a prophet in my own way.
Yeah, I get feedback on this from a few people I know as well. And, I think to start with, one or two of them, they started listening just out of interest to see what I was up to. And, they've listened episode after episode after episode and, give me good feedback on it. So that's great stuff. You can find us at davidversusdavid.com. You can find us at facebook.com/davidversusdavid. And, of course, where else can they find us, David?
Yes, iTunes.
What sort of reviews do you want people to leave, David?
5-star. We love 5-star reviews, please. And you know what? The more you leave... you may not realise this, but every episode should have reviews going against it. And the more of those that we get, the more chance that we get to come up in the iTunes rankings. You know, we've got to work pretty hard because in this country, Will Anderson, who's a comedian, runs the most popular podcast in the country. He just this week launched a second podcast because the man's greedy. One is not enough. And that podcast went immediately to the number one position, first week out. So... yeah, you know, surely marketing's more important than comedy, isn't it?
If you're in marketing, yeah.
Really? Yes. I don't know that Will Anderson would feel the way about that. And I've got to tell you, I listen to Will Anderson's podcast. They are hilarious. I'm going to give it a plug. What the hell? If you're looking for a funny podcast, it's called TOFOP, TOFOP. And it is outrageously funny.
I'm going to go and have a listen now then, mate. So thanks for that.
Absolutely.
Hey, that's what a great service we provide. You know, if you've listened to us for half an hour and there, you can go off and have a bit of light-hearted comedy moment. So fantastic.
Mm. And you know what? Will Anderson in this country runs a television show as well called The Gruen Transfer, which is all about advertising. So I'm sure he'd appreciate the plug.
Marvellous. Good connection. Okie dokie, David. On that merry note, I'm going to wrap it up, I think, with a goodbye from David here in the UK.
And time to put the squirrels to bed. Goodbye from paradise.
You have just been listening to the David vs. David podcast with David Pritchard and David Counsel, helping you get knockout results with your online marketing and advertising. Please keep in mind that the ideas, opinions, and information shared in the show are those of the hosts and do not reflect those of their past employers.